Okay, thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Let's find our seats, please. All right. So today, during prayer time, I got a word from the Lord. And all right. So yesterday was kind of like my Sabbath, because today is like the Sabbath, the day of the rest. Yesterday, I was not feeling good at all, and I was just felt really sick. I had like a sore throat and everything. And so, but I kind of like, I just kind of put on this this facade sort of that I was like okay, because I didn't want anybody to worry about me. And so I felt the Lord telling me this morning that there are people out there today who are putting on facades and disguises that they're okay, and maybe they're not okay, and that it's okay to feel what you need to feel, just don't stay there. So if you need to feel angry, if you need to feel sad, if you need to feel worried, you could feel that. Just don't stay in that place, because otherwise that will become who you are. So just, I just feel that anybody, I just pray that anybody today that is feeling that would just be healed of that. So I'm going to pray. Let's stand, please. Lord, I just thank you for today, and I just pray over all the people and their souls who have who are feeling that they can't feel what they need to feel, Lord. I just pray that you would just give them the safe space and the words to say, Lord, to express how they feel in a healthy manner, Lord. I just pray that nobody would feel trapped, and that they would feel free to express their emotions and their feelings around people, Lord, that they would not feel judged whatsoever. I pray over the service, Lord, that you would just give us open hearts so we can receive what you have for us today. And I just pray that you would just give us an amazing day. In Jesus' name.
Jesus. search the world. But it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise, the treasures of fame, but never enough. When you came along and put me back together, every desire.
You turn seas into highways. You're the only one. Is one of the greatest privileges, like stepping into the presence of God and worshiping the Lord with all of our heart is one of the greatest privileges we get to have. The fact that we get to come together as a body and we get to lift up a song and we get to praise Jesus regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what we feel like. I've said it many times, I'll continue to say it. Regardless of what you feel like, God is still good. So your worship cannot be based on how you feel. It can't be based on, does Eric sound good? Is he on key? Is he playing just five chords because it sounds the same? No, no, no. It's based on the goodness of God. Okay? And I just need to emphasize this again. Elena and Lucci, can you do me a favor? Get off your phones for a second because I want you guys to hear this, okay? Because here's the thing. God is here in this place. He has something for all of us. For all of us. If we're not here to worship God, then let's just go home. It's football season. I'm ready to watch football. Okay? My point being is that let's worship God. God has something for you. If we could just tap into that and say, God, what do you have for me today? Not just let's go through the motions. Let's sing two more songs so then Pastor Mike can get up here and preach. No, I'm not interested in any of that. I'm interested in what does God want to do today? So if you need a touch from the Lord, this is your opportunity just to do something different with God today. Do something different. This altar is not just big enough for one person. It's big enough for all of us, right? And if you don't want to come, that's fine. If you want to encounter God at your seat, that's great too. But I'm just getting stirred up because I know that God wants to move in his children's lives. That's you, you and I. He wants to move in our lives.
So this morning in the prayer room, there were six of us and half of them were youth, which I love. And... and the Lord reminded me of a video that I watched. It happened. It was true. And it was a video of youth all over this grassy area. It was a huge grass area. And they were sitting in sections. So there was a section and then there was an aisleway. And then there was a section and an aisleway. And then in front of that, they kind of did it to where it was a zigzag. So one of the sections sat in front of the aisle of the last one, and then an aisle way, and then it sat in front of. So this kid got so hungry just to touch Jesus in some way. And he came running from the back, running, just no shoes. He was in shorts and a t-shirt, and this had 1,000 or more kids on in these sections. It was huge. And he came running, zigzagging, almost as if he were drunk, and he probably was in the Holy Spirit. But he was weaving and running full bore out. And up at the front was this knoll where they had put a cross. And he threw himself at the foot of the cross. He was so hungry for something of Jesus. That's the kind of hunger that I beg the Lord for this morning in all of us, not just me, not just those three youth that were in the prayer room. And it was so powerful because his hunger matched my heart. But I had no motions to do anything about being filled. Sometimes it takes us getting out of our regular and what's in our heart to become physical. So if you have felt that tug and you know there's a hunger within you, do something to get more of Jesus. Get out of the regular and become irregular, if that makes any sense. It's okay. That kid came from the back and zigzagged in between all of these rows to throw himself at the foot of the cross. He did not care who saw him or what stood in his way. He zigzagged enough to reach Jesus. Can we reach Jesus this morning? Can we be hungry enough to reach him this morning? Do something. Do something irregular so that Jesus can just say, oh, look at my kid right there. They're so hungry for me. Oh, look at them. Oh, I love them so much here. And he's just going to pour and pour and pour more until you say, I can't take anymore. Are you hungry this morning? Amen. Reach for Jesus.
You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn grapes into garden. You turn bones into armies. Turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Oh, no, there's nothing. Oh, there's nothing. Better than your presence. Oh, there's nothing better than you, God. Oh, there's nothing better than you, God. No, there's nothing better than you, God. God. Oh.
nothing is better than you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You're the reason why I'm here today, to worship you, seek your face. You're in this place today, Jesus. You're in this place today, Jesus. We're not satisfied with old manna. We're not satisfied with yesterday's blessing. We want something new today, Jesus. We're not satisfied with last year's encounter. We want something new today, Jesus. 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 Jesus, Jesus, precious Lord, none on the earth or heavens above that I have found beautiful. You are my treasure, my great reward. And I just wanna move your heart. It's all I wanna do. I just wanna stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you, all to you. Your love make a way.
Thank you. I'm so moved by you.
do. I just wanna stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you.
All to you.
I just wanna move your heart, get caught within your gaze, right here in your stay, oh, just to dwell in your house, waste my hours and my days on you, all on you. Just move your heart.
Sometimes hard to think that we, our individual selves, can move God, but it says that he's searching, looking, the eyes of the Lord are going all over the earth, looking for someone's heart that's turned towards him. And today that's us. We're turning our hearts towards him. Right now we have an opportunity to turn our hearts towards him. Just like that young man who ran through the crowd to get to the cross and just fall down at the cross, at the foot of the cross. The eyes of the Lord saw that day and was searching for a heart like that. That's what moves him. Just our lives move him. It doesn't make sense, but just our lives move him. Just us living and having existence moves him. He's moved by us. He loves us. I would venture to say he thinks about us more than we think about ourselves, which is kind of hard to believe. He never stops thinking about us. So, Lord, we just thank you that you're looking for hearts that are turned towards you. Lord, I just pray that if we're so consumed by life that we haven't been able to turn our heart towards you recently, Lord, that you'd help us to refocus. You'd help us to remember what's important. You'd help us, Lord, to let the Holy Spirit move in us, stir us to be excited and hungry for the things of God, to be excited and hungry to be in your presence. Just thank you for this time, Lord. We just believe you're going to continue to teach us how to move your heart, to teach us how to captivate your attention. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back, everyone. I want you to greet somebody for a few minutes, and God bless you.
All right. Good morning. Any happy people this Sunday morning? Yes. Just a few of us. So we're going to continue making declarations over our city. We love the Yakima Valley, and we love what God is doing in the Yakima Valley. And so, Caden, go ahead and go to that first slide. I know you just sat down, but do me a favor, stand up with me, and we're going to say this like we believe it. We're going to declare this over our city. And say it with me on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray for the Yakima Valley. I pray, Lord, for what you're doing here in this place, God. I pray, Jesus, that you would continue to pour out your blessing, Lord. Pour out peace over our city, Lord. Pour out your wisdom over our city, Jesus. And I thank you so much, Father, for your goodness, God, that you have not forgotten us, that you look down upon us, Lord, with great joy in your heart, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that there is revival happening in our city. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. First slide, buddy. Breakfast. So we're doing men's breakfast. We did barbecues this summer, and that was really fun. And so mark your calendar. We're still deciding on the location, but as of now, September 24th at 8 a.m. is men's breakfast. And here's my my exhortation to all the men in the room, and if you know a man in the room, and this includes the young men as well. Caden has been coming to the men's events because, I mean, he's a man, and so that we would be men that gather. We would be men that come together and take one Saturday out of our busy schedule and connect with one another and come together just to eat and fellowship. We'll talk about Jesus a little bit because, you know, Jesus is important. And so Mark, put that on your calendar, and we'll give you guys more details as the time progresses. And then thank you for giving. If you want to give, you can give in our box here, our offering box here, and there's also an offering box in the back, as well as you can give online. And we just appreciate everybody who pours into this house financially. We are so thankful for you guys. I think that's it, right? Okay, you guys want to join me up here? Our pastors are back. They're in the saddle, for lack of a better term. So let's give it up for Pastor Mike and Gaylene. We love them.
Praise the Lord. It's good to see everyone. We were here last week, but because of the condition of my mom and a busy week, those of you who didn't know, she's was in the hospital for 15 days, and she's now at Good Sam's and in a rehabilitation mode now. So hopefully she'll be able to be back to her full state. Once again, she did have a pacemaker put in, and she had a collapsed lung. So she had quite a bit going on. And praise the Lord that Vicki went over and saw her when she did, because most likely saved her life. So I believe
we were in Utah,
yeah,
and we could tell something wasn't right. So sweet Vicki went over early in the morning and checked her and got things moving. And we're so thankful for you.
Yeah. Amen. So hopefully you guys had a good August. It was weird being gone like really an entire month. It was just like different. Never done anything like that. What's that?
Well,
thank you, and thank you, Lord, for it. Yeah, it was what, you know, when you're starting something like that, when you've probably, I think the longest, other than when I was sick, and I don't count when I was sick because it was like a necessity. There was no vacation to what I was faking it. Yeah, it's partly, but you know, it's like so what ended up happening is, like, the first week it's kind of different, you know, getting into the groove. But by like the second week, I knew, oh, this was supposed to happen. I needed this, and we needed this. And it was like
you're not talking about when you were sick. You're talking about the break.
Talking about the break now.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You went, but he.
I needed to
there.
Be sick. No, we needed this break in August. Yeah. So it was like, I don't think refreshing is like, I mean, it's like, oh, I hope you're refreshed. It wasn't like that. It was more like a deep deep rest, and I don't know how else to put it. It's like there was another level of peace that you could achieve, you know, because you don't have all these, you know, there's still things going on in our lives, the family things, you know, that we had to, you know, make phone calls every now and then. But we were at a location that we literally had to drive to get cell service, and we didn't do it like every single day, but most of the time we tried to, you know, see if there was anybody that had an emergency, but it was an experience that I would like to do again some, you know. And yeah. Eric it says, yeah, we want to do this every year. It's like, okay, if you really do, that's like,
we're all over
that. I mean, I know it's a lot of work for those of who are left behind, but you know, but
so we both have, you know, the watches that buzz you when you get your text messages or when you have a reminder that comes in. And I took mine off at the beginning of the month and did not wear it for the whole month. He, however, put his on, but I did not put mine on. So I was at a level. I was not going to be bugged if I didn't have to be bugged.
She was at another level.
And so I didn't put my watch on the whole month that we were gone. So that was lovely.
I did, you know, read my Bible and pray, you know, and we actually went to church. I think we talked about that a little bit
last week.
But when I was reading my word for my daily word, and I was in the process again of reading through the Bible in 2 months. So I was getting towards the end of the New Testament. I was in Timothy. And I came across a verse. It's not going to be the first verse that we read, but I came across the verse. And, you know, I'm always, you know, sensitive when I, like, all of a sudden, like, I feel something jump in me, right. You know. And I go, oh, wow. You know, so I started doing some cross-referencing then and started bookmarking some things and, you know, did a little bit of study. But it's like I knew right at that moment that we were supposed to share this. And I didn't have, like, any particular title for it at that time. But at this point, it's called The Timeless Truth. The Timeless Truth. And this is how many of you understand artificial intelligence? You probably hear about it a little bit. Well, in the art community, artificial intelligence is transforming the art community right now. There's what are called like text prompts, like you know how you can text your friends. Well, we can text artificial intelligence, and we can ask it to do something. Like you can say, I want to see a beautiful lake with you know, rocky mountains behind it and big rugged trees and rocks in the front. And it will literally like paint this for you. You can say in the style of Picasso. And so I've been working on that. We did a book, and so I think it's going to help us do our next book, actually. Yeah. Have the AI do all the work. Anyway, but
so when he says a book, it's a children's book.
Children's book.
So it's not like it was a novel or, you know, it's a kid's book. And so he actually did all of the illustrations on computer. I don't even know what program you used.
I use a program called Blender.
Yeah. And so he did all of the pictures in Blender. And then he's talking about the next book will be off the hook. Like... He probably will want to go back and revise the first one and
probably
maybe do pictures there. But
I'm saying all that to say this, that this is an AI-generated image that I generated this morning. Yeah, that is. Yeah. Yeah. I did some doctoring to it. It was kind of flat, so I added contrast, added some color and stuff. But I typed in the word eternity. Because I know, timeless, eternity. So if you guys know anything about the eternity symbol or infinity, it kind of put that in. I think it's really pretty cool. So anyway, my point being is that we're in a new age, a new time, mm-hmm. a new day. And if this was announced like just 2 months ago, just barely, and within the last month, it's like gone exponential what's happened. People all over the world are creating art. I'm saying that because I just want to let you know that just get ready for things to change. Mm-hmm. You know, things for that you think are just like normal. Normalcy is about to leave, I'm telling you. I mean, there's artists all over the world that are like, am I going to be able to have a job? And there's certain jobs that won't be available anymore because people will be doing this. And so just think what AI could potentially do. Now, I say all that to say this, that we have God in our lives. Mm-hmm. He can be the stable. He can be the rock when things start to get shaky. And this world's going to continue to get shakier and shakier. That's why I believe we need to know this truth that I'm going to tell you today. Because if you're seated in this place, in this time, and this time is all that really you're focused on, and I'm not the past and not the future, then you're going to have more of an effect on you than probably it should. And so, you know, the disciples in the days of the church, early days, they had a changing world. You know, they were bringing a message that was radical. You know, they went into cities that was full of idolatry, to the place where people had like their livelihood based on making idols. I mean, literally, they you know, there was like not just one guy. There was like a whole, you know, committee of them, whole group, an association of idol makers. Mm-hmm. And in one city, they literally went to the main city and said, listen, these guys are taking away our trade. Mm-hmm. Because they're coming in and they're talking about not worshiping idols, worshiping the one true God. And we're losing money. We're losing money here. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is the disciples went and the apostles went through all kinds of upheaval because they had a message that was changing the world. Right. But they weren't just grounded in that moment. That's why those times didn't move them. That's why Paul said, you know, all of the things that happened to you, the shipwrecks, everything, it doesn't move me. What moves me is Christ. What moves me is God. What is my anchor is God, not this time. So that was a little bit of an introduction.
So did Eric know what we were preaching on when he picked the songs?
I don't know.
You didn't, did you? That's so crazy.
So we're going to look at...
So the Lord.
Do you have anything you want to open with? Or are you good? No. Okay. 1 Peter 1:17 through 20.
New King James Version. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves there throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest at these last times for you.
So if we go back to this first part, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. What does that mean? Does it mean like we're to be afraid of God, or that we're to you know, like worry about every single move that we make, that, you know, we're going to get the hammer brought down on us? No, it means that we have a respect and a reverence for the Creator of all things. And if we think about it, he is the one who has redeemed us by his blood. He has purchased us, not with gold, not with silver, not with any amount of money, not with Bitcoin, none of that, none of the current currencies. He bought us with something much more precious, his own blood. When he spilled it on Calvary, it was like currency flowing in heaven. It's like money. It was almost being obliterated at that time, and true value was being established. Gold was becoming devalued. Everything else that we've known to this up to this point was totally devalued because his blood became so valuable. His blood became so precious. And it bought us. And we're his. We're not our own, you know. Sometimes we like to think we're our own. You know, somebody starts to mess with our life. Why are they messing with my life, you know? This is my life. Mm-hmm. Well, as Christians, it's really not even our own life. It's his.
Right.
So, anyway, I wanted to get to the main point here, and that's verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. I want to talk about a timeless truth, and that timeless truth is that Jesus just didn't show up on the scene, you know, 2,000 years ago and just all of a sudden started doing something. It was planned from before the earth, before the worlds, before the ages, before time began. We'll read in another verse. Before it even started, Jesus was slain. Jesus was ready to say, Father, I'm going to go and I'm going to give my life. The Christ, the Son of God, the Word, I'm going to go and sacrifice my life so that they can be close to us. Because they knew what was going to happen. Some people say, well, if they knew what was going to happen, why did they create the Garden of Eden? So he could have us. He knew it was going to be a struggle. He knew there was going to be the fall of man. But he had the plan to redeem us.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
Amen. All right, let's look at another verse. This is Titus.
Titus 1, 1 through 2. Not 3 is not included in here.
3 has been disqualified in this, yeah.
Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began.
Before time began, he promised us eternal life. Well, some would say, well, he promised us eternal life, and that's what Adam and Eve were receiving. No, Adam and Eve were the first of mankind like us, but Jesus was the second Adam, and he was truly the eternal life. He was the only way for us to receive eternal life. We don't receive eternal life just because we ascend our consciousness to a higher level, and because we're at a higher level, we've now received eternal life. No, there's no way to receive eternal life or to get to the Father except how? Mm-hmm. Through the way. And who's the way? The truth and the life. Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. But it was before time began. That is a timeless truth. Before time began, God planned this out. God planned that Jesus was going to be our sacrifice, that Jesus was going to be our reason that we could be connected with the Father. There was no other way for us to be connected with the Father like we are. Amen. All right, here's the verse. It was 1 Timothy.
2 Timothy.
2 Timothy 1, 8 through 11.
So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time, and I said Jesus Christ, but it says Christ Jesus, sorry.
It's okay.
But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and mortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher.
That's a lot, isn't it?
It is.
Did you know that you only need like 4 or 5 verses from the Bible to have like the full plan of God, if you get the right verses? You know, you don't need always like every single, you know, the entire Bible. There are certain verses that have a lot of depth to them. And this is one of those. This is one of those set of verses that really talk about what the intent and heart of God was. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me. Paul was a prisoner and he was writing this letter. Rather join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. You know, I think we, especially in the United States, we don't like the word suffer. You know, we don't want to think about suffering. You know, and sometimes what we call suffering really is not suffering. It's just maybe having a bad day. Maybe it's someone, you know, called us a name or, I mean, there are people who do sometimes suffer, sometimes physical, sometimes emotional. I understand that. But there's a level of suffering that this early church dealt with and other churches throughout the world now. You know, it's not uncommon for a church to be blown up or burned in other countries, completely burned out with people in it, while they're worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're dragged out and they're stood in front of their families and they're said, listen, if you don't renounce Jesus right now, we're going to kill your family in front of you. And they kiss each other and they say goodbye. We'll see you in heaven. I mean, that's how much suffering other places have. And, you know, we think of suffering as a loss, something that we're going to lose. But the apostles and the disciples understood that it's great gain to suffer for Christ. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I was watching the movie, what was it called? The Finger of God?
Mm-hmm.
Was it The Finger of God? Was that the one?
Was that the first one?
Or was the second one? Second one. You don't remember? Anyway, it was a part where this man had been captured for his faith, and he was in prison, and the guards would take their cigarettes and put them out on his back and burn him. And he'd have these big, huge, I mean, he had these big, huge welts, yeah, because he was since released and he was on his own. He had these big, huge welts where these cigarettes had been put out, or maybe just kept going and they just burn him. But he said every time they would burn him, he would feel Jesus hug him and feel the warmth of God and feel the love of God. Even though it was painful and it hurt, he said God reached down and touched him during those times, that he wasn't alone just being tortured by these guards. Jesus was making himself known. And I believe that that's just one of those signs that when we suffer for Christ, or when we suffer and we allow God in our lives to work, that he's going to be there and make up the difference. Mm-hmm. Do you have something?
Well, I do, but I don't know how it goes along, but I'll see where we go with it. So Mike's mom now is in Good Samaritan Nursing Home, and she's in a nice big room, but she's still suffering. She's still having a hard time with her mind, with her body. And Mike, through this whole time, the whole like 2.5 weeks, he has, from the Lord, received an extra amount of love and grace and empathy and sympathy for his mama. And she's suffering. She wants to go home. She doesn't want to be there. And he feels that suffering. In a small way, this explains, rather join me in suffering for the gospel. In a small way, this explains what Paul is writing here, saying, in this gospel, join me. Join me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So in a small way, this is an example of what Paul's talking about. Because we feel for Grandma. We really do. It pains us to go in and see her on a bad day. She doesn't acknowledge us. She doesn't acknowledge anybody. She doesn't eat her food. She just lays there and will not open her eyes. That's a really bad day for her, and it hurts us.
Mm-hmm.
But we know in that suffering what good is going to come out of it. In the gospel, there's good that's going to come out of it. You're not suffering in vain. You're not suffering for no reason. You're suffering in the gospel's sake because Jesus, he's the end all, he's the be all, he's the everything. We're suffering and there's going to be good come out of it.
Amen. Verse 9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Have you realized that, you know, some people say, oh, I've been called to ministry. Well, above and beyond that, you're called to a holy life. You know, if we live a holy life, then we'll be ready to be ministers. There's too many ministers out there that have been called to a holy life, but they look at their ministry greater than their life, than what they've been given as a main purpose. You know, that's why I've truly always believed that our family is our number one ministry. It always is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have I always done that perfect? No. But in my heart, I've always known
yeah.
that our family is really our number one ministry, because they're the ones that we have the opportunity to be with most and talk with most and live a life, hopefully, like Jesus would. Granted, you know, we're people and we make mistakes. But it says, not because of anything we have done. We were called to a holy life, not because we were great, not because we were, you know, perfect, not because we looked good and smelled good. No, it's because of his own purpose and grace, his own purpose and grace in us. This is what I want to get to today. This grace was given to us, could put, in some translations says to us, in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Now, how does that happen? How, before the beginning of time, do we get given something when we seemingly don't exist? Because in God, we did. In God, we did. In God, we were there receiving that grace. We had not walked it out yet. We had not lived it. But in Christ, we had already received it. Mm-hmm. It's just like Jesus being slain from the foundations of the earth. Had he been slain yet? No. He had not been slain yet. There was not even a cross. There was no Roman, you know, government. That Jerusalem had never happened. I mean, the earth had never happened, but he was already slain. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that this is like sometimes hard for us to get because we're starting to talk about outside of our time and our timeline. But I think us understanding that we have a destiny that isn't just from when we were born out of our mother's womb and, you know, cried our first time in the hospital, mm-hmm. but our destiny started way back in God. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about this. How many people, you know, have Jesus? How do you know you're saved? You know, how do you know you're saved? Well, here's one thing you can tell them. Well, I was chosen by God before I was ever born. That's how I know I'm saved. He chose me. There was a grace that was given to me in Christ Jesus before I ever was here. That's how I know I'm saved. God was working a plan in me even before I came here. Not just because I confessed Jesus. No, God had a plan, and he was working a plan in me. A timeless truth, a timeless plan that isn't fixed by, you know, AD or 2022 or anything. It's fixed in God outside of time. Mm-hmm. Think about that. I mean, that's crazy. That's like science fiction stuff. Do you realize that we live like science fiction lives, but none of us realize it? None of us realize the depth of what God has done here, the depth of who we are. Mm. Our very existence here as what is called sojourners in the Bible, that we're here for a specific purpose in this time. Mm-hmm. Just being here is fulfilling that purpose. Not even just, you know, all the things that we might do. I know it's like tough to ponder sometimes. Let's look at this verse. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior. Christ Jesus, who has died, who destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Some people say, well, death isn't destroyed. I mean, I just, you know, buried a friend a few months ago. It sure seemed like he died, but it's an illusion. Because in Christ, he never died. That's why Jesus had the audacity to tell Martha, he won't die, you know. In me, those who believe in me, they won't die. Mm-hmm. He wasn't lying. He was just talking about outside of our time and space. He was talking about what really mattered. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a day that was a week ago from Friday, and my mom was having a really bad day, and we thought she was gonna leave us. We were thinking that she had chosen to go and be with the Lord, which, you know, we have choices as people. We can make up our mind and do things.
Just be done. We were even talking to the nurses about, do we do palliative care? Do we do respite?
Because we're talking hours we were trying
what's
to...
What's it called? It's
I don't know. Hospice. Yeah.
It's like, what do we do? Like, because she's not, and her kidneys were shutting down. I mean, it looked like
she was getting ready to leave. And I was calling Stephen, and I told him, and he was saying,
That's our oldest son.
And I said, yeah, it looks like Grandma's going to not be with us much longer. He says, oh, that's so bad. And I said, okay. It's so bad. I mean, is it bad, really bad, Stephen? I mean, we're talking that, you know, she's going to go be with the Lord. Yes, we're going to be sad. We're going to miss her and everything. I said, but she's going to go be with the Lord. She's going to receive her faith is going to become sight. And he said, Dad, only you could say that right now. And I said,
what did he say?
Dad, only you could say that right now. I said, well, okay, listen, this is my belief system. You know, if I can't believe it all the time, if it's only when it's convenient to believe in eternal life, or that to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, and that's glorious, then are we fooling ourselves?
Is it and easy
we need
to
evaluate
to
our
say,
faith. What?
Is it easy to say for a friend, but even harder to say for a mother? I mean, you know.
Oh, I told him, don't get me wrong. My heart's been heavy all day.
It's when it hits home is when your faith really is tested. It's when it's so close that you recognize this will change my life. This will change my heart in some way. But he could still say that.
And but why could I say that? Because I believe that she had a plan from the very beginning of time, that God was working in her, mm-hmm. even though I couldn't see all of it through her life. But I believe that, and that he has a plan for the future, for all of us. And so if we get captured by this moment and we don't really realize what we believe, then we will be moved by this moment.
Yeah.
It will wreck our lives. It will push us. It will cause us to do things that we probably don't need to be doing.
Yeah, we've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is this too heavy?
It's pretty heavy.
Sorry.
There's good news.
There's good news.
Jesus.
And then he just says, I've been of the gospel appointed as a herald and apostle and a teacher. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. This is another really good one, and this is another one that's going to make your head spin. Go ahead.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable in the beloved.
Here's another four verses that I mean are just crazy. I mean, these are ones to commit to memory. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Somebody like tells me, like, I'm not blessed. Well, you're maybe not blessed in the physical. Maybe it doesn't look like it's tangible now. Maybe it doesn't look like you're holding your blessing. But I'm telling you right now, every spiritual blessing has been given to you. Maybe not every physical blessing, but you have every spiritual blessing. To me, which is more valuable?
Yeah.
Which contains the weight of heaven?
Right.
The spiritual.
Right.
The physical is temporal.
Right.
In the heavenly place, just as he chose us in him. Now think about this. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So before the foundation of the world, before you know, I believe in the beginning, because that seemed like the beginning, right? So in the beginning of time,
before that,
we were chosen in Christ. Now someone say, well, it's just the whole church. That's just the whole church. It wasn't just me as an individual. Really? You think God's that unable to do something? No, he chose me. He chose me out of out of all the individuals that have been born in time, he chose me, and he chose you. He chose you at this very time. What did he choose you for? He chose you to be holy and without blame before him in love. That's one of the things that we've been called to. Called to be holy and without blame. Some would say, well, how can I be holy? I mean, this life is just, I mean, have you looked at Instagram lately? Have you looked at TikTok? Have you looked at what's on YouTube? Have you looked at what's on TV? I mean, yeah, all of those things are trying to pull away our holiness, our integrity in God. Have you seen all the things that are available to, you know, to please the flesh? Yeah, they're all over the place. But if you start anchoring yourself that you're not just a temporary vessel here that started, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, however many years you've been alive. No, you were anchored somehow back before all of that began in God. And that's your foundation. If you can get your eyes off this moment and get your eyes on him in his eternalness, his infinity, we're in that somehow, some way. It makes no sense. But he already called us to be holy and blameless, to walk a life.
And that's walking into church on Sunday already holy and blameless.
Yeah, before you ever got here.
Before you ever got here. That's not singing through the four songs or however many songs there are to finally get yourself to a place that you feel worthy. Amen. That you feel worthy enough to receive what Jesus has for you. No, we can walk through the door already holy and blameless.
Come on.
Because that's who we are in him.
That's who we've been chosen
to
be.
We don't have to muddle through all those songs. We can be rejoicing before the first note is played. We're there already.
And we can do it tomorrow when we get up from out of bed.
Exactly.
We don't have to wait till next week to get our reset.
And how have we lived, though, in the past? We have lived like we are not worthy to receive all the goodness of God. Or that, okay, you chose me to receive the goodness of you, Lord, but there's this spot and this spot. And we take time that we could already live in the existence of being holy and blameless. We take time to go back and mull over things that's already been taken care of at the cross. Already been taken care of. Prior to you even being saved. When you got saved and you asked Jesus into your heart, that junk in your trunk was gone.
Come on.
He took it completely out and away. Have you packed it back in there? Are you pulling it behind you day in and day out? Because that's my lot in life. You know, I'm going to get real here. I was abused as a kid, so I have to, that's my identity. Or I did this and I did that. I had an abortion. Or I was an alcoholic or an addict to something. And because I did that, I have to carry that with me because, you know, that's part of who I am. That's hockey. That is not truth. Your trunk got cut off at the cross. You're driving around now in one of those little mini cars that has no trunk. Live like you're driving around in that car. Do not tag on a trailer because there's not room in the trunk for everything wrong that's happened to you or been done to you or whatever. And you go back and pet on it and love on it because, oh, that's part of who I am. That's part of what I did. That's, you know, that's familiar to me. No. That was cut off at the cross. When you came to the cross and asked Jesus to save you, it was a done deal then. So walk through those doors on Sunday morning. Walk out of those doors on Sunday morning without blame, before him in love. Because that's all. When he looks at Tara, he sees love. When he looks at Esther, he sees love.
Yep.
When he looks at Cody, he sees love. He doesn't see all the stuff that happened in the past. He's like, why are you bringing up stuff that I've already taken care of? We have something to do here on this earth. We have a mission. And if we're so caught up in our own nastiness and our own trunk stuff that we can't help somebody else that really needs us. I was talking to Dee Dee Gobb last night. And Dee Dee was a teacher for 22 years. She worked in special ed out in East Valley. And when she left here, she quit teaching. She was done teaching. She was tired of teaching. She was 60 years old and she was finished. She went to Panera and got a job at Panera, part-time, where she lives now. And she loves it. Why does she love it? Because it's totally different. Because it's like what she did as a mommy when she was little, when her babies were little. She sweeps and mops the floor. She helps people. She restocks things. I mean, she does things that are who she has been as a mom. And I told her, Dee Dee, because she loves it. Like, even the bosses love her. I mean, it's a mutual, wonderful experience. I said, God knew Panera was in your future. He knew you would be serving sandwiches across a counter and ringing up people's food. He knew that. There is a purpose for you being there. There is someone Jesus has earmarked that only you will touch and only you will be able to help. We live our lives so caught up in our own nastiness, looking at what we did and how we were, that we sometimes can't even see the person he's put right in front of us. Stop bringing that stuff up. It's gone. It's finished. Now live blameless and holy in love of him. I'm in love with this man. I really am. I hate it when I hurt him. It breaks my heart. This morning, he found out I did something really dumb. And he was really disappointed in me. And it broke my heart. And I had to say, I'm sorry. I'm total to blame for this. I didn't know. And he still loves me. And I still love him. How much more does Jesus love you?
Yeah.
How much more should you be in love with him?
That's good.
That's the purpose. That's our life.
Having predestined us to adoptions as son. Predestined. That's a very, very, very interesting word. I was trying to think, okay, how can I really... Because, I mean, it sounds like predestiny, and that's kind of what it's saying. Another translation says preordained. Is it another way that's sometimes said? So if you think of ordained, what does ordained mean? It means that you're being set apart to do something. You're being, you know, sometimes when they would ordain ministers, they would anoint them with oil, you know. When we were kind of ordained to be elders in this church for the first time, Pastor Ken and Sharon washed our feet, which is not a good idea for me. My son yelled from that, "Oh, he's got foot fungus or something like that." Yeah, I don't know how old Stephen was at the time.
It was 10. Stephen. Yeah.
I mean, really loud in the church, you know. It's like, anyway.
It was Stephen.
It was Stephen?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant, Stephen, sorry. Yeah, you weren't, I don't think you were born yet, were you? Dude, I don't remember. He doesn't remember. If he doesn't know, he wasn't bored for sure, yeah. But anyway, the point being, this preordained, predestined means that before we would have gotten our feet washed, that it would have been, let's say, years before, that when Pastor Ken was going to become like a pastor for the very first time, to be preordained, he would have said, oh, in the future, we're going to be washing... Before he even married Sharon, I'm going to be washing Mike and Gay's feet. He didn't even know us. That's what preordained is. And you're saying, well, how could a human do? No, a human can't do that. But God can.
Yeah, that's good.
God knew us before we were able to be known. That doesn't make sense, does it? God knew us before we were truly able to be known, because we didn't know we were being known, but we were, because we have been predestined to the adoption as sons, not just to be birthed on this earth, but to be sons and daughters of God. I mean, that, I know some people, they don't like saying that because it sounds so grand, and people say, well, if you think you're a son of God, then you're gonna be prideful and make others feel less than you. No. If I'm a son of God, a child of God, then I better treat people like God. And if I treat people like God, then I'm ready to die for people. I'm ready to put every other person ahead of me. That's being a son of God. Not being, oh, I'm a child of God and you have to... No, being a child of God, yes, we have the inheritance of God. We have the riches of Christ. But the heart of God is to put everybody else before you. By Jesus Christ, we are adopted and sent by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Like I said, those four verses are crazy. I'm going to end with this verse, and the reason being is because I want us to know that we have been we have been singularly chosen by God. Now, this is saying the opposite, but it truly means that there are those whose names are written in the book of life. Go ahead and read it.
Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship it.
This is the beast we're talking about.
Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain.
Everyone whose name has not been written. So there's some whose name has not been written. It's very clear here. It's hard for us to understand that. But that's what it says, right? Why are our names written in the book of life? It's only the grace of God. It's only the love of God. It's only the sovereignty and plan of God. But they are. If you're here today and you've received Jesus as Lord and you're letting him lead and guide your life, your name's written in the book of life. And it wasn't written on the day you said, yes, Lord. It was written before the foundation of the world. You were part of that divine plan of God, not when you came here, not when you gave your heart to the Lord, but way before. So you have an eternal state already. It's hard for us to understand that, but we're anchored. We're that's how come we can be seated in heavenly places as well, because we're not just of this realm. We've now identified, before I knew Christ, I didn't know I identified with before anything was created. Even when I first got saved, I had no idea. All I know is I wasn't going to hell. I was pretty happy about that. Mm-hmm. That was my amount of understanding. But today, because of the grace of God and because the Holy Spirit is revealing things, I believe, to his people once again, we're getting the understanding that we're anchored to something much more greater than time itself.
Yeah.
And it does not decay. It does not rust. And it is eternal.
So every one of us that has received salvation, that has asked Jesus into your heart, that he is your Lord and Savior. He did not give you the pencil of salvation with an eraser on the end. Every time you bum up, every time you make a mess of your life, you do not have the power to go to the book of life and erase your name from it and then have him have to rewrite it again, over and over and over again. You were given a pencil that has no eraser. What are you writing for your life? Are you writing that you are a screw up? Are you writing that you are saved, but? Or are you writing, Jesus, what do you want me to learn today?
What do you have for me today?
It's good.
In love, how can I make this vessel better for what you have for me to do? We were downstairs in prayer this morning, and I took Skylie's face into my hands, and I told her how awesome she was, and I told her how called she was, and I told her that God had a plan and a purpose for her. His plan and purpose for our life is yes and amen, and we cannot erase that. We cannot obliterate it, no matter what we do. However, I will say this. Because of the love that we have and he has for us, we can go to him and say, Jesus, I messed up so bad. Last weekend, my heart was broken because I had hurt somebody that I love deeply. And I asked for forgiveness, but I still bear the pain of what I did to hurt that person. And that's part of learning to be the vessel he's called us to be. And I'm just going to say, Jesus, when I did that, Jesus didn't erase my name out. He didn't take me off the list. He didn't say, Gaylen, you dodo bird. You messed up so bad. No, he's like, all right, you can learn from this. With love, he will get me back to where I need to be. Are you doing that, or are you hoping that he doesn't see what you do, or how are you living? Are you living in love? Is the timeless truth for you the umbrella that you carry around saying, I am a loved child of God? And my life does not always look perfect. However, my life is Jesus. My life is his. And I let him lead and guide me, even though I mess up sometimes.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Father, we just are thankful, Lord, that we have been on your agenda since the beginning of time, since before the beginning of time. And Lord, I know that gift should give us great value and worth in our hearts of how much you are involved in our lives already and have been. But Lord, I know that many of us have let this world and the system and the hurts and the pains of the past degrade that and devalue that and make it of not impact on us anymore. And Lord, for those of us who have done that, Lord, we choose to repent right now and say we're sorry. Forgive us, Lord, for yes. not valuing, Lord, your precious blood that yes. was shed before anything ever happened, Lord, that you were slain. That you chose us, Lord, before the world even began, Lord. You wrote our names down before the foundations of the earth. Mm. That you love us, Lord, most of all. That it's all because of love is why you did that. You didn't do that because you were wanting us to, you know, be able to read and just learn and teach us things. Lord, you did it because you love us. Mm. You did it, Lord, not to make it so that you were better off, Lord, but that we would be better off because of your love. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, I pray for anyone right now that's struggling, anyone right now, Lord, that feels alienated from you, feels separated from you, feels distant from you. Lord, that you would just reach in right now and touch their heart.
Yes.
Say, child, I love you. Child, you are mine.
Yes.
I had you in mind before I even began the universe. Before anything ever happened in time, I had you.
Yes.
And I've got you now, child. I'm not going to let you go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let the enemy win in your life. Mm-hmm. Lord, just give them that encouragement.
Yes.
Speak peace to their storms, Lord, that are just hammering their thoughts all the time.
Help them to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Know that they know that they know that they are yours mm-hmm. and that they are loved. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Does anyone have a comment or anything? Or any, just go whoosh or something. I know it's deep. Sorry. It's like, I didn't know where it was all going to go, but... Yeah, I really believe that when the Lord gave this, he knew that what I was going to go through in the last 15 days and how applicable it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know it at the time. Tells you that he's timeless.
Yeah.
Amen. God bless you. You have a wonderful day, and we love you.
Take Jesus with you.
Take Jesus with you. Well, they do. He's in them. Yeah. Amen.